is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, it's 9.05 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Del, do people want to go to a lagoon?
I mean, it's hot in Texas. Why wouldn't you want to cool down and also get live music? So yes, people do want to go to a lagoon. And we've been doing that throughout the summer, at least the last month or so. So we're going to give people another opportunity. Do you like Jack Ingram, people? Because you can win a 4-pack of tickets to see Jack Ingram this Friday at Lagoon Fest, Texas. Come get your country music fix as Jack Ingram and Cody West take the stage. You and three friends. You also win an afternoon pass to the lagoon, so come early and take a dip in the lagoon before the concert. Lagoon Fest Texas is the largest lagoon in Texas, located in Texas City. The summer concert series is just kicking off, so keep listening to win tickets to other shows all summer long. See a list of live concerts and get tickets now at lagoonfest.com. So if that interests you and you can go tomorrow, be caller 8 right now, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Caller 8 gets Lagoon Fest tickets. And make sure you have friends, because do you really want to go to Lagoon Fest alone? It's a 4-pack, so you can take 3 other people with you. Be caller 8.
We haven't even touched on this. We haven't talked about the Astros in a while. They lost last night, 5-4. To the Cleveland Indians team that is so beat up and so holy. I don't know how this team has got 48 wins already. It is they started 3 rookies. The one that started last night looked like he was about 12 years old, and he has been horrible. And yet the Astros kind of scuffled against him. He has not had an outing where he hasn't given up a homer. They homered off of him. Altuve homered again. Way to go. And Kyle Tucker is hitting the ball over very nicely lately. But then the Astros bullpen went to work. Couldn't wait to get Austin Pruitt back.
Yeah.
And how's great. How's that been working out? Abreu'd you. So you lose the last game of the series. You beat them 6 out of 7. It's a major league team, I guess. Cleveland's a major league, I guess.
Yes. The wins count the same.
No, I know, but you shouldn't lose that to them at all.
You don't think you should drop one game
to
them?
It's bothersome.
They're above 500.
It bothered me, okay? I don't like to see
our team. They're not the Tigers.
The Tigers swept you.
I know, that's why I said they're not the Tigers.
Right. And the Rangers did too, so. You're 3 games up on the A's, who didn't play last night. You don't play today. Get a nice day off. Carlos Correa needs it. He's got 1 hit in his last 33 at-bats. It's starting to become 34 at bats. It's becoming a problem. It's a problem, sis. It's a problem. Okay.
You know, I want to know where and why you started saying sis, because I mean, you haven't said it recently, but you started that, I don't know, maybe a couple months ago, and I didn't say anything about it. I'm like, where'd that come from?
Yeah, you did. You asked me about it.
Did I?
There's a video. Just look up. It's a little girl. She can't be 5 years old, and she's putting on makeup in front of the camera, and she is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And she's sassy is what she is.
Okay.
And she says,
if you invade my space, it's a problem, sis.
That's a problem, sis.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see her?
Yeah, I haven't played the video, but
I can see
it.
Play the video. It's actually kind of funny. She's really funny.
I'm just interested.
She's a funny little kid.
You adopting the 6-year-old's, you know, way of saying things. Well, yeah, she's darkening her eyebrows, which, you know, a 6-year-old doing a makeup tutorial is a little weird.
Yeah.
A little bit.
No, but it's she's actually pretty funny. Actually, she's got a lot of sayings in there that I could adopt if you want to know.
What do you think is your next favorite?
I don't know. Well, I'll have to. Listen, I love them all.
You know what? Coming back, Tyler, I'm going to send you this video and we're going to play it and figure out what John should say next.
Okay.
It's a problem, sis. What he's adopted. Okay.
And the whole family's adopted it. We say it all the time. So anyway, the Astros lose, And there was a report. Well, there's been a report out there. I mean, 610 is taking credit for it. Or they just
you were the one who brought the Matt Serger thing to Houston.
And then Kenny Van Doren stole it from me on
Tell
Climbing
People
Tales
who
Hill.
He is.
He's our intern here.
Who you besmirched on the air?
I didn't besmirch him.
Oh, but you did.
His good name. You know, he's a writer for Climbing Tales Hill. I love what Kenny's doing. I mean, as a young guy, as intense as he is.
Intense?
Well, no, as intensely as he follows the Astros.
Okay, I was like,
and writes.
Okay, I was and, like, Kenny and, intense?
Well, yeah, he's not. No, he's actually, he needs to learn how to comb his hair. He's got a future in this business because he loves the Astros, and he started up, I guess he started up this website. Well, he's the main contributor to this website anyway, but he wrote an article about, you know, the Astros possibly getting Max Scherzer. He first wrote it July 9th, which is about a month after I first, you know, said that this is what they should do, but
he never heard you say it.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I can go back and find out when he started as an intern here.
But he could have been, he must have been listening to the show before that anyway.
John believes his Max Scherzer thought is very unique and no one else could have thought of that.
You know, what with them getting Justin Verlander. No, what I thought, it was a natural progression. You went out and got Verlander, won a World Series. You went out and got Greinke, got to game 7 of the World Series.
Yeah.
And you're going out and get Max Scherzer. This is what you do.
So you put
it's what the Astros do.
Correct. So you put that together, and you think no one else could have put that together?
No one else did put that together
because it's a natural progression, and yet I'm the only one who could have
apparently
thought of it.
I am the only one because it took everybody else a month and a half to do it. So a big lead put out there, a trade for Max Scherzer could make the Astros unstoppable. Yeah, you know what? Now a fan sided the Dodgers site. Fan-sided, said, no, this cannot happen. And the Los Angeles Dodgers need to do everything in their power to ensure if they're truly serious about winning back-to-back World Series titles. If LA makes it out of the National League, their expected competition will be the Houston Astros, who were responsible for their demise in 2017. And so they need to go after Max Scherzer. You got the sound? Oh.
No, he's talking about something else. Oh. Yes, if you are a team with World Series aspirations,
yes,
you're playing almost want to just play defense against teams who might go after Max Scherzer.
Well,
if you have enough to get him,
that's a hell of a defensive move. And you know what?
And then, by the way, the Dodgers,
you bolster your defense with offense.
Yes,
getting Max Scherzer, immediately makes the Dodgers,
particularly with the likelihood of Trevor Bauer not pitching,
never pitching again
this season, and then Clayton Kershaw's issues. We'll see when he comes back. Yeah, they actually might be more about making sure they get
Walker. I mean, goodness gracious, and Scherzer.
They need to get him to make sure they get through.
Well, now the Astros have to do it because they have to block the Dodgers from doing it.
Yes, and maybe the Red Sox need to look at it as well.
Man, and what you want to talk about a war? You want to talk about arms race.
And by the way, the Astros aren't...
You see how I did that, arms race?
I heard. I just wanted to get through it. I just wanted to ignore it. The Astros aren't just looking at pitching. They're looking to acquire an outfielder possibly. Now, Starling Marte has been mentioned. Others have been mentioned as well. So as much as James Click appears to be doing nothing because we must attack the general manager until he makes a trade that we are happy with, the reports are they are trying. They're trying to figure out how to improve this ball club on multiple fronts. Now just get it done so we can actually, you know, applaud you for something.
Just do something. I don't care what it is. Damn it, James Click. What? Do something. Do something. Even if it's wrong.
No,
don't do something.
No, don't do anything wrong.
No.
No, but even just do something. You know what I want you to do this summer? And we're flying through the summer now. We're almost into August now.
We got football seasons.
Football seasons around the corner. And here's another thing. You can go see the Raging Cajuns play one weekend because it is going to be – it's nice in Lafayette through up until December.
Just think
about – so you've got plenty of time.
Think about being in Lafayette on that weekend where the Cajuns beat Texas.
How about that? What about that? You might be able to do that. I don't know how the game is going to turn out. But if you're there, it's going to be a celebration. It's always a celebration. I lived in Lafayette. I'm going to tell you this. It is one of the most fun cities that you'll ever, ever. I mean, I loved it there. We just couldn't stay But there is always something to do. There's always live music. There is always, always, always great food. The Cajun cuisine, the Cajun culture, everything about it. It's just 3.5 hours away. The average hotel room, you can get one nicer or you can get one less. At $85 is the average hotel room in Lafayette. You got golf. You've got the swamp. You've got the Tabasco factory, Avery Island. You've got everything you could possibly want. And again, it's all about food, drink, music, and fun. That's what Lafayette is all about. So if you're looking for a nice little getaway during the week or on the weekend, whatever the case may be, go to LafayetteTravel.com. They got something going on right now called Eat Lafayette, and you can get all kinds of great deals at restaurants right now this summer in Lafayette. LafayetteTravel.com.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Johnny G, do people want to go to a lagoon? You want them to go to a swamp? Yeah. That's what I'm about. I'm about both of them. I love water, okay? I'm just a water guy, okay? So we talked a little bit about Damian Lillard a little bit earlier in the show. It's actually not crazy, if you want to know the truth.
And you've changed on this.
I have changed. I was like, no, you got to rebuild. You got to get. But here's the deal, is you can turn things around in a hurry. In a hurry when you get stars. I'm of the opinion that I would rather have Damian Lillard than James Harden.
So would I.
Yeah.
He's that I said before. He's my favorite non-Heat player ever for me.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
He's my favorite player to watch, and he's been that way for a long time.
James had a 41-41 season here. But James put a team on his back, though.
Yes.
And he had more around. Nurkic is always hurt. And C.J. McCollum's great, but you're not going to win with just two guards.
I mean,
you're just not going to.
No. I mean, and they're small guards, too, which has an effect. And
right.
They're both bad defensively. Portland had their one run, and it may have confused them into thinking they could extend that and become a title contender when they made the conference finals and got swept by the Warriors. But, yeah, Dame is a dude that you're going to like to watch and like as a teammate, I believe.
Dame, I mean, because but look at what happened. Tracy McGrady comes here. Wow. The fan base is excited. Yao Ming gets here. The fan base is excited. James Harden gets here. You know, and it took a little while, but I think the fan base got, you know, really excited. He turned out to be a lot better than a backup in Oklahoma City. He turned out to be one of the best scorers in NBA history. So, yeah, the fan base gets excited. Dame Lillard comes here, you get excited. Is Jalen Green going to provide that kind of excitement for a fan base? No. That's a rebuilding thing. And unless you're the Golden State Warriors, and oh, by the way, even the Golden State Warriors, it took them some time. And it took them adding pieces. And, you know, they did it mostly through the draft, but that's a rare deal.
And it took them dumping a coach who wasn't great for them. They hired a coach, and immediately they take off. So a lot of things have to come.
A lot of things. Now, that said, yeah, well, Cleveland won when they drafted LeBron.
LeBron
yeah.
is a unique.
He's a different dude.
Like the second best player
Jalen
of all time.
Jalen Green ain't going to be LeBron James. Dwayne Wade turned into awesomeness for Miami. If Jalen Green is half the player Dwayne Wade is, then...
You got a great one.
Yeah, it's going to be great. But you really can't count on that. You can count... And listen, I ain't pocket watching Tillman, but I'm sure Tillman's like... I would really like to fill up the house pretty soon as opposed to sooner than later. And, oh, by the way, if we are playing in front of nobody when people can get back here and, you know, Christian Wood sees, oh, this is going to take a lot of time. Teams, 2 years left on this Christian Wood deal. I'm a big Christian Wood proponent. AJ, you know, we did a Sportsman video. He's not. I would love for Christian Wood to stay longer than these 2 years that he's got left on this deal. Dame Lillard and possibly somebody else coming along for the ride because, hey, let's hook up down in Houston, Dame. Now, it's going to be difficult with John Wall's money still there. But if they can somehow finagle a way to get out of that Wall deal, an Eric Gordon deal, and bring in Dame can bring a big name with him.
Now the timeline is kind of constricted because, like I've said before, maybe Portland would probably want your second pick overall.
Yeah,
and
fine.
I understood. But more on the Dame side of it, Dame hasn't fully, look, we know Dame isn't happy. He took a step back and go, look, I'm not requesting a trade when he had his public appearance after USA practice. But he said, we're not going in the right direction and I would like some urgency. So Portland has been given an opportunity to find a way to show some urgency to Dame Lillard. I don't know if this trade is going to be happening immediately. You can always trade the pick. I mean, the Cleveland Cavaliers traded Andrew Wiggins right after they drafted him.
Yeah.
You could still do that. It's not impossible if it happens later in the offseason. So it's still something to monitor. I think you will be taking a play if they don't find another trade outside of Dame. I think you will be taking a player at two. But there's no guarantee that player is on the Rockets roster to start the year if they're still looking into the Dame thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it could happen even after the draft. I know there was some talk about for other teams that the trade would happen at the draft. But, hey, a Rockets second overall pick, and even if you keep your 23rd and 24th, could be part of your summer league team and then be a Portland Trailblazer by opening night. Those things could happen.
Yeah. You know, hey, I could certainly understand where Tillman would find this very attractive to bring in Dame Lillard and you know, possibly fill the arena. And, oh, by the way, you get better real fast.
The Nets were
before Kevin Garnett and Kyrie Irving got there, and now James Harden.
Well, the Nets had done something that attracted those two players outside of being in Brooklyn. They had shown some competency because remember they had made the playoffs the year before. They had shown that they could build a roster at least. Now they had to fired Kenny Atkinson and brought in the coach those two guys alike and Steve Nash. They did show some competency, and now the Knicks have done that too, so maybe they become more attractive. Is Dame going to be one where, yeah, sure, I love to go to Houston, and that awful current roster. So the Rockets would have to probably make multiple moves this offseason because I've said it before, despite him being under contract for multiple years now, NBA players generally dictate where they want to go, and you probably would have to convince Dame that it isn't just going to be me and Christian Wood before he'd be like, yeah, get me to Houston.
No. Well, and I think we just keep forgetting John Wall.
No, I'm not forgetting him. I know he's around.
I just think we forget about
him. You mean the guy who wouldn't even play because Dame is here? That guy is who you're talking about?
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, because would you like John Wall off the ball? Is that what you want? You want John Wall, the non-shooter, to be off the ball trying to make plays when Dame gets some shots? Is that what you're looking for? Is that the way to go about things?
I want to trade John Wall for Luka Doncic. That's all.
Oh, well.
Easy enough.
Seems reasonable.
Well, that's what I want. Doesn't mean, you know. No, I just wish you could get something from John Wall other than expiring contracts and crappy players. But it doesn't appear that's going to be the case.
You'd be giving up assets to get him out of here. The Rockets are used to this. You trade your point guard for someone else's point guard, and you have to give up things to get him out of here.
What about John Wall and the number two going to Portland? They would love that.
Yeah. Yes, they would love to be paying John Wall $40+ million of it. Because isn't his a player option or is it a full guaranteed?
Who was drafted higher? John Wall was. Okay, thank you.
What does that mean?
Thank you. That's all I said.
Yes.
Ask a question. Asked and answered, counselor. Let's move on.
Does that make him...
Asked more, and answered.
And that makes him more attractive. You know what?
I didn't say that. I said who was drafted higher.
Now, John Wall has a player option worth $47 million in the final year of his deal. You know who's not opting out of that deal? Like Portland's like, yeah, it's only 2 years guaranteed. Maybe we'll get out of from under it because Dame's contract is shorter. You know the guy who's not going to opt out of $47 million his final year? John Wall.
Yeah, $47 million for John Wall in the final year. Nice job, Wiz.
Well, the Rockets took it on.
The Rockets took it on because they had to get rid of Russ. How about Russ? How about the Lakers want Russ or Chris Paul?
The Lakers want to add a star name to the roster? That's surprising.
Yeah.
What do they have to give up for Chris Paul? Well, he could opt out, I guess, but they don't have the money to sign him.
Yeah, right.
So, great, you want him. But you, even after what happened in the finals, you think Chris Paul is going to just, yeah, I'll take your 20. I'll take a discounted deal to show up and play for you. Seems unlikely.
What about Schroeder? Do they want him? See?
You mean this Dennis Schroeder?
Unlikely trade guy.
The Dennis Schroeder who turned down like $80 million because he thought he was going to be worth 100 plus in the offseason?
Hey, dumbass, take $80
million. Yeah.
All right, 928 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776 to hang with us. Back to this Texas and OU talk. You want in, we can break down divisions when we come back. SEC, OU, Texas divisions after this. Don't go anywhere.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, we had a detailed conversation. We had some thoughts on it, too. And if you've got some thoughts, you Texas or Texas A&M fans, you're more than welcome to get in here. Texas and OU. Looking into the possibility of heading to the SEC. This was a story that the Chronicle broke, Brent Zwerneman. So congratulations to him. It might have been a story that Texas A&M probably, who knows, fed Zwerneman because they want to get out in front of this before it becomes a reality, have all kinds of hopefully negative reaction because Texas A&M don't want any part of Texas in the SEC. They want to be the only school. And we've got Ross Bjork talking about that very thing yesterday at SEC Media Days. He actually was on with Paul Feinbaum. And it's understandable. Texas A&M was able to get out from under the shadow of Texas, able to do their own thing, got their own place, thriving. Yeah, the hot chicks at their house, and now all of a sudden, you know, the big brother comes back in and says, I want in on this, on your good fortune.
Like the Thomas brothers, Earl and his brother?
Well, not really. Is that like, type? Where they're all looking at each other doing stuff.
And they give each other an Eiffel Tower?
Yeah, no.
Is that the type of big brother stuff you're talking about?
No. This is more, I think, like Weird Science Chip and his little brother, remember?
But you said they were
trying to get Kelly LeBrock, you know, and Chip steps in.
Which school is the Thomas?
The little brother is the one who made Kelly LeBrock, and here comes the big brother trying to horn his way
but
in.
But I like the Thomas brother scenario.
No, I don't like that one. I like Weird Science better.
Which school is the wife who comes in brandishing a weapon to make sure it doesn't happen?
Well, the Ross Bjork has got the weapon.
That's actually funny because Weird Science is trending on Twitter.
Is it really?
Yeah, but it's something about Bill Paxton.
RIP to Bill Paxton.
Oh, yeah, but he died a while ago.
A couple years ago. It's trending now, because somebody tweeted out, what's the first movie that comes to mind when you see Bill Paxton?
Weird Science.
Weird Science or Twister.
Or True Lies.
But this is Weird Science.
Or True Lies.
True Lies, yeah.
Yeah, well, this is Weird
Science. This is Weird Science where the little brother does something great, and here comes the big brother ruining it. And this is what Ross Bjork thought about the big brother, Texas, coming to the SEC.
The reason why we left the Big 12 back in 2011 and started in July 1st of 2012 is that we wanted to have a standalone identity in the state of Texas and all the turmoil that was happening in college athletics at the time. And so the SEC has been a perfect fit for us. And we believe that we want to maintain that same identity. Perhaps there's a reason why Texas and Oklahoma are looking around, if that's the case. I think Jimbo said it on the podium. Of course they do. They want to be in the SEC. It's the best conference. So there's a lot of uncertainty, I think, right now in college athletics. So I think this type of story fuels that a little bit. But from our perspective, we love being in the SEC. We love being the only program in the state of Texas. And we're going to maintain that position. But we're also going to make sure that we are a leader in college athletics, and we'll see what the future holds.
So that is Ross Bjork. He doesn't want any part of it. And I can't blame him. Texas A&M has made their own name. They're the ones that had to struggle through the SEC these years. All of a sudden, Texas, oh, no, we want in on that money. We want in on that good fortune that you've got. We want to build our brand. We want to do it. And A&M's like, we thought of this first, bro.
There's a
get out.
Somebody tweeted out that's basically at the stadium where it has national champions, and it lists all the years of all their conference champions and everything like that. And then at the bottom, somebody photoshopped in joined SEC before Texas.
Yeah,
that is A&M's most consequential football move in the last. How many years?
Without a doubt, their biggest football move in forever. In forever. Joining the SEC was perfect.
Joining the SEC and then Sir Parker's touchdown against Kansas State. Yeah. Those are the two moments, right?
Yeah. Shutting down Michael Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, kind of shut him down.
Yeah, it was
35, 31 or something?
All they did was ruin K-State's chance at a national title.
That's all they did.
Yeah.
But they won. They won a title.
They won the Big 12. Yeah, they did win the Big 12 title.
Right.
So
713-780-3776. You Longhorn fans, what you think? You Aggie fans, what you think? If you want to get in here.
Now, we talked about a pod system earlier.
Right.
And this comes from the SEC Network, courtesy of Ross Dellinger, who works for SI. He screenshotted what is on the SEC Network as far as what the proposal, at least from. I don't know where they grabbed this from. Maybe they created it themselves. In this proposal, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, and Texas would not be in the same pod. Oklahoma and Texas would be, but A&M would be in the same pod with LSU. The pod would be Arkansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Texas.
I think that makes a lot of sense. But Texas A&M and Texas would play every year.
Yeah, and it would be a 9-game conference schedule format. Play the other three teams in your pod every season, obviously. Play 2 games against each of the other pods, host every team at least once every 4 seasons.
Oh, I got it.
This doesn't say anything about a permanent rivalry game.
Crossovers.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the SEC does, but a permanent crossover sucks because it's extremely unfair because LSU gets Florida every year, Alabama gets Tennessee every year. Now, back in the 90s...
That would have been a big deal.
That would have been huge both ways. For both, yeah. Yeah. So that would have been huge, but over the last 20 years or so,
since Nick
Tennessee
got there,
has sucked.
Since Saban's been there, it's been a different story.
Yeah. So yeah, that would be and you play everybody every four. That would be a perfect scenario. So it's Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas, and Missouri. Okay, what name the next one?
That's Pod D. So I'll start from the top. Pod A would be Florida, Georgia. They'd be playing every year, along with Kentucky and South Carolina. Pod B would include Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt. So the two in-state, those four in-state schools would play each other. Tennessee keeps Vanderbilt, and they keep Alabama as well, which they would want. And then
Wait a minute. Okay, so it's Florida, Georgia, South Carolina.
And Kentucky. And Pod
Kentucky.
A.
Okay.
Yes. Pod B is Alabama and Auburn. They stay together, and Tennessee stays with Alabama, which they would love. And then Vanderbilt's in the mix to keep that in-state thing every year.
So that's two good teams. So every pod has two really good programs.
Yes, and every pod will keep their traditional SEC rivalries as far as the in-state. Now, LSU would miss Florida every year. That would go away because LSU's in Pod C. But they would keep A&M, which has become the rivalry.
LSU, A&M, Ole Miss, and Miss State.
Yes. So no, obviously no in-state rivalries would be separated. Those would continue every year. And some of the traditional ones like Alabama and Tennessee would continue. But Auburn, Georgia would go away as far as something that happens every year.
That makes a lot of sense. LSU not playing Florida every year, not playing Alabama every year, I think detracts from the schedule, from the SEC schedule.
Yes.
Because LSU, Alabama, even in not great years, maybe it's not the 7 o'clock Saturday night game, but it's the 2:30 game every year. Florida and LSU is the 2:30 game every year, and that's early in the year usually, and that's always a big game, always a big game. So for them not to be playing every year, but they would play every other year home and away.
Correct.
Right. So every 4 years you'd get Florida in Baton Rouge. Every 4 years you'd get Alabama in Baton Rouge. But in the other 2 years, LSU would go to Alabama.
Yeah, it says host every team at least once every 4 seasons. So, I mean, I guess.
Host. So you're on the road to them the other 2 years.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, because you played two out of every pod. You get home and away for both.
Yes.
Every 2 years you would play that team, but you every 4 years you'd have them home.
So it would avoid the scenarios where, for example, A&M has never hosted Georgia since they've been in conference. They have never had Georgia come to town, which would be a big deal to have the Georgia Bulldogs make a trip to College Station. It's never happened.
Yeah.
They've only played once. Huh. That was a couple. That was
so they would play every 4 years in College Station. That'd be yes. huge. Yeah, big.
Yeah, it would change things where everyone get to play each other.
So actually. The way this goes, it would be it actually with two really good teams. I think that's the perfect scenario of setting this thing up. What they just did, as opposed to Clay Travis had it's bad because he's got in one of his pods. Clay Travis had Kentucky, Missouri, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt.
He just wanted to put all the bad teams together. Is that what he's trying
to do? Well, he's a Tennessee honk, so he wants Tennessee to be in with Kentucky, Missouri, and Vanderbilt.
So they would actually have a shot.
What the bleep? Have you lost your mind, Clay Travis? This sucks. Your pods suck. So anyway, that would be the perfect way to go about this thing. Now, powers change. When Nick is gone... There's a possibility. Alabama went to had some crappy years.
True,
but they're still Alabama.
Even the year they had like Mike Shula, didn't they win like they had a double digit win season under him, and obviously he's not sustaining it because he's Mike Shula. But they will always have an opportunity as long as they hire the right guy. Some places hire the right guy, and it might not matter because there's just a level they can reach. Alabama's not one of those places. You hire the right head coach, you're going to be really good.
Yeah. Stop your LSU whining. LSU is going to be in the probation pod. LSU can't wait, Ricky, to get with Mississippi State and Ole Miss. Can't wait
is Ricky
to be in that pod.
Is Rick? Which who's a, yeah. Who's Ricky a fan of?
Ricky's an Ole Miss boy.
Oh.
Oh, no, they're both Miss State boys. I forget. He and Chris both. I think they're Ole Miss and Mississippi State, which is whatever.
Didn't LSU lose to Miss State last year?
Never.
No, it happened last
no,
year.
No, it never happens.
It's the first game
it's
of the year.
It's the dumbest thing you've ever said.
No, it was on TV. I watched it.
Dude threw for more yards ever than any SEC quarterback.
KJ Costello, man. Heisman can't. No, it was just
Bo
Pelini.
That was Bo Pelini. He got Bo Pelini.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Coach O said he'd never do again. Mark, you'll be first up when we come back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
.946 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. All kinds of... That the bitterness of the... Of this whole deal, it's just it will never end.
No,
this Texas A&M.
It's what makes college sports what it
and
is.
You know what? If it does come out to the pods like that, Texas A&M and LSU in one pod, Oklahoma and Texas in another pod, that they play every other year, that you would host, it would make it even more special. Probably, they'd play every other year at the different opponents. A&M would host Texas every 4 years. Texas would host A&M every 4 years. It would, instead of every year playing on Thanksgiving, they'd play every other year. That's a pretty good compromise. And by the way, how much fun will that be? I love this pod thing. You put in Texas and Oklahoma into this thing, and the SEC becomes can't miss. How many games are can't miss every weekend?
And so you don't have any issues about the Big 12 dissolving then?
I think it's going to be inevitable that we're going to be down to a couple. Well, it should be probably four major conferences. And unless the SEC can keep up, unless the Big 12 can keep up, a couple of teams could head over to a couple. How many are in the Big 10 now? 14? I think it's 14.
I believe so.
I think it's 14. They'll need a couple of teams. The ACC has like 24 teams, right?
They have 14, plus they have that deal with Notre Dame where they play like five games.
And the Pac-12 has 14.
12. Or did they extend the 14?
They're 14.
Okay.
So you got places for people to go. You know what? It's survival of the fittest. Whoever lasts, lasts, and whoever doesn't, doesn't. And, this is inevitable. And one thing is for sure, the SEC is going to survive.
And the Pac-12 has 12 teams. They're one of the few who actually has the number of teams that is their name.
The name?
Yes. Because they were Pac-10, and then they added Colorado and Utah, and that was 12.
Oh, okay.
They were going to be like a Pac-14 if they could have gotten A&M, but Texas and Oklahoma.
It's funny, the Big 12 can go back to the Big 8.
It's a little late.
It ain't that big
anymore. No.
Mark is here. Let's talk about UT and A&M. Hey, Mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm waiting for the stars to align where UT and A&M are forced to play in a bowl game. I mean, would that be just one of the greatest bowls there is where A&M kicks the crap out of UT? I mean, if beginning of the year when they have the Texas Bowl at NRG, they need to offer both schools some obscene amount of money and say, hey, guys, we want you guys to play. Would that not be awesome or what?
Well, they better get it done pretty quickly because they won't be playing in bowl games if this goes through, unless it's a playoff game, I guess. But Ross Bjork was on yesterday and said he has no interest in playing Texas, no matter what time it is or what game it is.
Well, and one of the prerequisites for any bowl game, but per Texas A&M, and I believe Texas as well, is don't any Big 12 SEC matchup, do not even think that Texas and Texas A&M are going to play each
because
other.
Because it could have happened in the past.
Yes.
And it's been avoided for the reasons John is talking about.
Yeah, they both don't want any part of that.
So, Mark, if these two teams, like under Sark and Jimbo, it has to happen pretty quickly in a playoff game in the next two seasons. Like whenever conference realignment happens, if it gets pushed down the road for a couple of years or whenever, bowl game scenarios, that's going to dry up unless it's a playoff scenario.
Yeah. So, right. But they'll play every other year. They'll play every other year. It'll be great.
And there goes Sam Acho on television, speaking of Texas Longhorns.
And talking about,
He's talking about this.
And, you know, of course, every Texas guy is going to want to see Texas go to the SEC.
You sure?
A&M ain't. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. It'll help Texas going to the SEC as opposed to being in the Big 12.
I don't think it hurts. I don't think they're hurting recruiting. I think their inability to turn the guys they do get into NFL players is the issue. Like, and was that going to change automatically if they go to the SEC? They're still going to have that reputation. These guys don't get guys to the league. Like, Texas is still recruiting well enough to be better than they are, and the guys they do get don't turn into anything. You don't think, looks like I mentioned before, Ohio State comes down here, they took the quarterback away. They'll take a wide receiver. Jeffrey Okuda was down here. They took him. And the sell is you come here, not only will you win, you will go to the NFL and be a first-round pick. Until Texas starts doing that for the players they do get, it's going to be hard sell. Why would the Brockemeyer kids were legacy recruits and they both went to Alabama? Go to the SEC. Those kids are still going to go because they don't trust the development. That's what has to change with Sark. If my 4-star, 5-star son is interested in Texas, what is your plan to make sure not only does he win, but he's a first-round pick, second-round pick? Can you do that for him? Because if you can't, Alabama wants us. LSU wants us.
Yeah, I think you're getting a different type of player, and I think that, OU has got had plenty of draft picks. Texas just doesn't develop them. They just don't. They just haven't. Maybe this coaching staff will.
Look, Texas as a whole, the sell will be, we're going to stay in state, SEC or not. We got to own our state. And owning your state means telling or getting kids and telling them, you come here, the development will be the same at Alabama or at LSU, Ohio State. You come here, we're going to get you through the league, and we're going to win a lot of games. They're not going to get different types of players if they can't prove that.
Yeah. Here's a Texas guy saying, the Big 12 bent over backwards for Texas, and it's so scummy what we're doing. TV contracts are ruining college sports. I'm legit disgusted by this. Keep the conference alive. Add some members. It still won't be top of the line. You just can't. Who are you going to get? Who are you going to add that's going to make it a top tier? Listen. You win the Big 12, it's no guarantee that you're getting in the playoffs.
If Texas wins the Big 12 at 11-1 or 12-1, they win the bowl, win the conference title game, they get in.
Yeah,
Oklahoma didn't get in last year because they lost to K-State and Iowa State in back-to-back weeks. I think Oklahoma, when they are 12-1, they get in. I think if Texas is 12-1, they're getting in. No one's keeping Texas out. Yeah. The problem is they haven't reached that level.
Right. Well, and with 12 teams, they'll get in regardless. The conference champ gets in regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're taking a chance here because you got a lot easier road to the playoff in the Big 12 than you do in the SEC. Although there will be more at-large bids from the SEC than anywhere.
Sure, but there's no – Texas right now, look, they have all the resources to be one of those teams, but they will be competing against more of those teams with resources and in-state recruiting advantages. Right now, it's you and Oklahoma, and really it's just Oklahoma until you step your game up. We've talked about it. You go to the SEC, you're battling Alabama, LSU, Auburn has their up years too, and we know about A&M, who you're going to have to compete against. Then you have Georgia and Florida on the other side. And some, like Texas, at worst, usually is like the fifth best team. That's their mark in the Big 12, and that's really about who you lost to in tiebreakers. There are years at this point where Texas is, you can go in the SEC and be the 6th or 7th best team in that conference.
Yeah. 713-780-3776. If you would like to get in here and talk about this, you are more than welcome. 713-780-3776. Billy Lucci says that the SEC presidents are meeting in person this morning in Birmingham, previously scheduled to coincide with media days, but damn, to be a fly on that wall today. That would be, I would love to be hearing what the A&M president is saying. Okay, Florida. When Florida State wants in, you know what we're going to do? Okay. Hey, Kentucky, Louisville wants in. You know what? Voting for it.
South Carolina.
Hey, Clemson wants in, South Carolina. How's that going to taste? You want? Okay. All right.
I talked about it earlier. There's allegedly some unwritten rule amongst those teams who play in a state where there is an ACC team as well, that if it ever came down to it where an ACC team from those states was trying to get in, they would band together and not allow them in because they want to be the only school in the state in the SEC. We heard Ross Bjork yesterday talk about the identity of being the only SEC team in the state. If you got to lean into that and go, look, I thought the policy here, unwritten or not, is that one team from each state, unless it's like obviously the obvious Alabama, Auburn, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, what are you doing? Are you going to back us or not? I imagine Greg Sankey says, shut up. You know how much money comes for Texas and OU? You shut up about in
shut one, your face, A&M.
One team per
you're
state.
You're still new around here. You're still a stepbrother. You're still a stepkid around here.
Imagine Missouri saying,
"Yeah, Missouri, shut up, Missouri.
You're lucky. You're lucky we even let you in.
You're the redheaded stepchild."
And in fact, remember the first couple years where Missouri was like making SEC title games?
Yeah. They're like, you ain't doing that no more.
No, not at all.
By the way,
Gary Pinkel ain't here anymore.
957 ESPN 97.5. What? When we come back, Tom Brady's getting a little full of himself here. Just a little full of himself.
Can't imagine that being the case.
Well, let's take a break. We'll talk about it on the other side. I got a pocket full of stones because I fell off my dirt bike in cargo pants. I rock a microphone literally, little the track lyrically with bottles, cans, pop a band. Put a stack on it, I water this plant like Aquaman.
Do you ever wonder what ESPN 97.5 hosts talk about during the breaks? Well, now we have your f***ing answer.
I don't know why you gotta do it with the effing. All you gotta do is say earmuffs.
Just go to twitch.tv/ESPN 97.5 for exclusive, uncensored content.
Can you earmuff it for me?